mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
Always love those air horns. That's the sound of fun when there's air horns. That's so weird. All right. Hi, welcome to Where My Mom's At. Let's do some business at the top. I'm going to be performing. I've extended my residency at Flapper's Comedy Club in Burbank. If you want to come see me work out new material, get my hour in good shape, come see me. I'm in the side room, the Yoo-hoo room. There's like 50 tickets a week. It sells out pretty fast. And so get them soon. But pretty much every Thursday through December, I'll be doing that. So try it out. Go for it. What are you saying? Imagine loud thing. I get secret messages from Nadav. You might hear some loud banging sounds throughout this podcast. That's because of our neighbors. We have just had rotten luck with studios with your mom's house. We moved in here and it was all great. And then, a welding company moved in next door, or lumberjacks. These are men that just chop things up all day, and we can't do anything about it. So you might hear some bangs. Just make it part of the show. It's all fun. All right, moving forward, though, October 17th, I'm at the Irvine Improv in Irvine, California. October 25th, Pasadena, two shows, 8 o'clock and the 10 o'clock at the Ice House. That should be really fun. And then November 22nd, Seattle, and then the 23rd, Portland, Oregon. Tickets at Christina P. Online.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silence.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know. I'm so weird today. I haven't exercised in a month because I've been sick for a month. And I finally did it. I got to move this up. This is killing me. Oh, there we go. And I did Pilates today for the first time in a month. And I'm so tired. I was so depressed as I was doing it. I hate exercise. I force myself to do it because I'm an old ass mom and I want to live to see my grandchildren. But like you ever, I get depressed exercising. I'm the only person in the world. It's supposed to give you endorphins. Not me. All the time I'm like, can I nap? Like I'm joking about how much I hate it. I'm such a dick. But so I did that. And then I want you to know, yes, I like Billie Eilish. I'm a cool mom. And I also have learned a new saying that the kids are saying. Native and Chris, I'm sure you guys say this saying when you like something, you go, I'm here for it. Have you heard that? Have you heard it? Don't act like you don't say it.
I'm here for it?
Yeah, they go, I'm so here for it. I'm here for it. You don't say that? You're a millennial.
Yeah, you know, it's that new, you know? We've been saying it for years. It just feels old to us already, you know?
Is that right?
I mean, I'm here for it. Like, that's... I'm about it. I mean, like that kind of lane of stuff, I feel like has lived for a minute.
Well, okay. I just caught wind of I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're still ahead of all the other super, super cool moms.
I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Right. I'm trying, man. I don't leave the house. Like I have two small children. I haven't left the house in a month, really, except to do stand up and come here. So.
I mean, hey, you know, not for nothing. You pioneered the whole TikTok platform for
this. This is true.
You figured it out. You figured out how to game their algorithm.
That's true.
You know, you're
that's true.
You're smart.
Thank you, Native.
You get into it. You are ahead of some kids, even. I think.
I know. And thank God for the internet because, I mean, it helps moms be less isolated. Like, I may be home cleaning butts all day, but. Like, I still get to be a part of the zeitgeist, which is fun. Oh, and do you know what a VSCO girl is?
Actually, no. I've never heard that. What is
it? Oh, and a oop, and a oop, oop, oop.
What?
That's for other people in the know who know what a VSCO girl is.
Oop, oop, oop.
Yeah, they go, and a oop, 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 and a sks-sks-sks. Oop, and a oop. So I learned from, this is a TikTok thing.
That's why I don't know.
Yeah, but it's a real phenomenon. So apparently teenagers, if you have a teenager, you might be seeing these girls around. They're called VSCO, V-S-C-O. And I guess VSCO is an app that these like really hot chicks are on and they edit themselves. Yeah, Google VSCO girl, V-S-C-O. And okay, I heard it. So they wear oversized t-shirts or sweatshirt with Nike shorts. They wear Vans, Crocs, Birkenstocks. I like the Vans. I'm a huge fan. And they wear a shell necklace. She also wears tube tops and jean shorts. She always has a Hydro Flask. This is what I've learned. And she can't leave home without a scrunchie. I have my scrunchie because I am now a VSCO girl. And her favorite car is a Jeep. So it sounds like this might be a variant on the Valley Girl, I believe, from the 80s, kind of. And they have a lot of scrunchies, not just one.
What
they
does
do a lot.
VSCO stand for? It's like an acronym, right?
It's an app. I believe VSCO, it's like an app that you can glamorize your photos, or what they call that, like touch up for photos.
Okay.
Yeah, like I'm not sure too. Guys, I've been collecting intel on this for like a couple of months. Been going back and forth with 95 Pigeons. He clues me in on a lot of stuff too in the cool world, the TikTok world. Yeah, also called VSCO Cam. I don't know. I think it's an app, guys. I'm pretty sure. But apparently they're kind of annoying too. VSCO girls are very adamant that you don't use plastic straws. They use their Hydro Flasks and they're always on social media being like the turtles or whatever. Yeah, here's VSCO. So like they're pretty girls, I guess. But if you want to be a cool mom, you know what I mean? I just gave you guys like two really cool pieces of intel, moms, about how to be up with the kids. And I'm so here for it. There you go. So let's get into it. I want to start with a mom of the week because I got this and I just thought it was so funny. Let me cue it up. This is just a photo, right? Native, I don't think it's a full vid. So it says, I thought you would appreciate my son's first birthday cake.
Now, let's take a look at our mom of the week.
Sorry,
I forgot we had that. I know, it was so cool. Oh my God, I burned my throat yesterday eating tomato soup. I started making tomato soup at home. And I just burned the crap out of my esophagus. Okay, I thought you'd appreciate my son's first birthday cake. They're never too young to learn that mom rules. Also, I love the podcast. Thank you. Thank you for the content. It's been helpful, entertaining. It's nice to know there's other cool moms out there. Thanks again, Courtney from Texas. And if you see the picture that's up on the the prompter, it says, you're welcome. And it's a picture of the baby sitting on the lap of the mother. And the cake is a picture of the mother. And it says, you're welcome. Hilarious. Thank you, Courtney from Texas. Fantastic, right? They don't even know what's going on that first birthday cake. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably do this for the first couple years, right?
Yeah, by two, they're kind of more aware. But by one, they're like, they don't.
Yeah, but they won't remember, like, you know, mom, I can't believe you put your face on my two-year-old birthday cake.
You're not scarring them yet with your personality. That comes by three, you're doing damage. Like, Ellis now wants to nap at school because we usually do half day. So he requested a knapsack that all the kids sleep in. And we went to Target and I got him. It's a Mickey Mouse one. He loves Mickey. And it rolls up and it unrolls and the kid can lay on it. And he's been practicing rolling it, unrolling it, sleeping on it in the kitchen. And I'm like, oh, look at you. We got everybody. We got a hobo sleeping in the kitchen. Look at you and your hobo sack. And so now he started calling it a hobo sack. And I'm like, oh, he's like, I got my hobo sack, Dad. So today's the first day that he went to school with his hobo sack. And I'm really hoping that I don't hear it from the teachers. Because is that on the list of unacceptable words yet? Hobo?
I don't think yet, but, you know, it's probably not too far away.
Yeah. Because I think it's so old timey. That it's not offensive yet. Hobo?
Yeah.
Hobo?
Hobo.
Hobo's funny. Google hobo. Let me see what a hobo. I feel like they have bright red noses because they're alcoholics and they hop trains and they have you know, the stick with the satchel of stuff on it. I remember like in commercials whenever like somebody would run away from home. Yeah. Traveling worker. The term originated in the Western United States around 1890. Unlike a tramp who works only when forced to, and a bum who does not work at all, a hobo is a traveling worker. Oh, okay.
Oh, so it's the best kind of homeless person.
That's right, Nadav. If you had to choose which one you'd want in your community, you'd want the hardworking homeless person.
Well, yeah, because also they don't stay, right?
Right.
Traveling worker.
Mm-hmm.
They go to where the work is.
That's right. You don't want a bum, because bums don't work at all. A tramp. I love that.
Tramp is second best, it looks like.
Yeah.
Works only when forced, when but they forced. Do work.
Like, I feel, what's his name, that singer, Tom Waits. He's like a tramp, right? Oh, no. Bukowski, like these drunks, these alcoholic guys, they work when they're forced, when they have to pay the bills. This is so funny. You would never call somebody a bum, right? Like, that guy's a bum. That's what my dad would say. This guy's a fucking loser, man. He's a bum. All right, I'm try not to swear, because a lot of you have been emailing me, telling me that you listen to this show or you watch this on YouTube with your kids running around. I'm going to try really hard not to curse, because God knows I failed at my house and my kids saying F it all the time. Okay, so that was Mom of the Week. So thank you, Courtney from Texas. Let's get into this. There's been some great follow-up emails. First of all, you know, Ela Klein was in here last week, and we are talking about naming genitals. This has been a reoccurring subject on this show. And Olga, I'm familiar with Olga. She's from the Ukraine. She was a listener when I was doing That's Deep Bro. And she writes in, I love your recent episode with Leanne very much. And I remembered I wanted to write before on important topic of naming your child's genitals. I've listened to this podcast last year. Here's a link. How to Protect Our Children from Sexual Abuse, live in LA. Patty Fitzgerald, safety expert, Atomic Mom. So that's the name of the podcast. How to Protect Our Children from Sexual Abuse, live in LA. Patty Fitzgerald. She says there's a transcript. Anyway, valuable information given in a light way, not scary and anxiety producing. And if I remember correctly, the specialist recommended to call it by its name, like penis, because any person who tries to groom a child, get into their trust, persuade them to keep secrets from their parents, will be sort of scared away by the right name. Like, it means a child can talk about their body, can tell parents what's going on, is more aware, something like that. Olga. Thank you, Olga. I think what she means is, like, you know, if the kid doesn't know the proper terminology, it probably means they're not talking about sexual or whatever, their genitals with their parents, and probably won't tell on the pervert who's trying to harm them. So you better believe after I read this email, I coached Ellis hardcore. I was like, what's that called penis? So it's like, and also I got another great piece of advice from a friend that was a school teacher, and she said, we told our children from the time they were very little, this is your, you know, the only person that should touch your penis is mom, dad, or the doctor. Nobody else. Or your vagina is mom, dad, or the doctor. So there you go, guys. I think pretty cool. And also, like, if it's nonchalant, I kind of do it. You know, a penis is no different to me than an elbow when it comes to your children, because they're just, you know, they came out of you. I made his penis inside of me. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. Okay, also, this is fascinating. So we have been relentlessly just taunting the gentleman who wrote in a while ago about he was having sex with his wife, with their child in the room, and the child woke up. I guess the kid was sleeping, and was like, what's the sloshing noise, daddy, or something, and it ruined his boner, and he was really upset about that. We have an email from the gentleman, and I would like, Josh, if you would please read this in a male voice. I think it deserves a male read on it, if you would, per se, per chance.
Mommy Tina, I am the original mommy / daddy fail that had sex while our son was in the room with us. I am happy to report that we have found the error of our ways and have realized the negative ramifications of our sexy time actions. I never thought that my childhood crush, Alyssa Milano, Dr. Drew, and the Mommy Nation, as well as the personality champ herself, would help me and my wife realize the damages we might be causing our little one. I hope that by sharing my call helps
other couples, and I love you guys for sharing it. I love you, and I love the podcast, and consider myself a tuned-in and responsible dad who is committed to breaking the cycle of irresponsible parenting.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you. No. Oh, he goes, signed, no more washing noises in the bedroom. Norm from San Antonio. Congratulations. Let's give Norm a round of applause. I think that took a lot of courage to write that email, Norm. And thank you, Josh, for your acting. I don't know if he was crying as he was typing.
I like to think so.
That was really good work. But yes, thank you, Norm. It wasn't just you. I don't want you to feel singled out. I actually was getting quite a few emails from people and phone calls like, my kids are bumming me out. I can't seem to jizz when they're in the room. Like, well, there's probably a reason you shouldn't be orgasming.
Catch me outside. Yeah. How about that?
Catch me outside. Cash me outside, she says. It's cash me outside, right? Cash me outside. How about that?
Yeah.
Why cash me outside?
I think that might just be how she pronounces it.
Oh, she's making it cooler by saying cat. It's like lazy English. Cash me outside.
Yeah.
She's like more street that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Street to the max. Yeah.
What a.
She's a real cool mom.
What a generation. Like Yakov Smirnoff with that.
Cool mom.
Not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Can you believe that people get famous now off of being ridiculous like that on Dr. Phil? Like, it's so rude to him. Like, I love Dr. Phil. I would be mortified if my kid went on there and was talking crap to him. Like, catch me outside. How about that? Like, ew.
But what if your kid then did performances for 50 grand a piece?
I know.
That's pretty cool.
I know, because then she got super famous off of that, which, hey, good for her. She parlayed 15 minutes of fame into like 35, which is huge.
Yeah, she'll have money until at least 23.
At least 23. If she doesn't cultivate a drug habit, which she probably already, I don't know if she does or have or not. But, we have mom hacks. Let's start with something fun. I love these mom hacks. I just tried the plastic sheet mom hack. If for those of you who didn't hear that episode, a woman wrote in saying you should put multiple plastic coverings on your crib mattresses. And I've just done that because, sometimes, you know, my kids pee. They pee in the night and they, infant sleep sacks are huge too, by the way. My kids just, sorry, they pee themselves in the night and then I have to change their sheets every day, which is super annoying. So get yourself some rubber crib liners, get multiple, stack them on in that way. And then this too, if you're not putting your baby in a sleep sack, get your life. I like the Halo, they're not paying me to say anything, H-A-L-O, sleep sack. Google that on your Amazon link. Shop through wheremymomsat.com. Use the banner at the bottom of the homepage. Do your shopping as you normally would. We get a little kickback if you do that. Here they are, the Halo sleep sack. I absolutely love these. Both my children have been living in these at night. They start like this without the legs. And then once they become toddlers, you can buy sleep sacks that they can walk around the house in, which is just fantastic. And that way they don't kick any blankets off. And they also won't choke in the blanket, which is a huge concern. I like the light one, the cotton one for summer. And then they have flannel. It's almost too hot, which is a little weird, but we're not in that cold of a climate. Halo sleep sack, lifesaver. So thank you for that. Did someone submit that? Is that why we're bringing up that one, Native?
Yeah, I think that was one of the mom hacks.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. The Nest, she likes the Nested Bean sleep sack. It's a lightly weighted sleep sack that you put your baby in for beds and naps. It mimics your touch to help them self-soothe and sleep longer. Well, that's cool. I didn't know that. I figured what the hell worth it. $35. I started when my boy was like 2 months old. At that time, he would wake up every 2 hours. Ugh. It took 1 month and every night got gradually better and better. By 3 months old, he was sleeping through the night. Wow, what a lifesaver. I'm glad to say at almost 6 months old, he still sleeps through the night every night, which makes mom life so much easier. And she never had the 4 month sleep regression. Well, lucky you, Lauren. So thank you for submitting that. Here it is, the Nested Bean. So it mimics them being held. There's also swaddles you can buy. For those of you listening, new moms or moms to be, there are on Amazon, you can buy, I think Halo makes them too, swaddler type sleep sacks with the Velcro swaddle. So you don't have to redo the swaddle all night long. You know, here they are. This is, it's up on the screen. If you're watching this on YouTube,
Yeah, fantastic. Cotton, so it's breathable, sleep sack, swaddle. Fantastic. Thank God for this stuff, man. I don't know how people had kids before Amazon. Could you imagine? I mean, I Amazon stuff every air day, all day, diapers, you name it. I get everything, wipes, I get the soap, I mean, I already go to Target like once every other day just because my kids love it. I feel like now they've got the Starbucks at Target, which is really neat. Can you believe this is my life? Like, I'm so excited about freaking Target. Oh my God. Who am I? The other day I was like telling some millennial in our kitchen, I was like, yeah, I used to party with the guys from Jackass one time. I went to that party and, you know, like, I was so cool. Now I'm
not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Yeah.
Now I'm stoked because there's a Starbucks at Target that I can go to before I go shopping for a sleep sack for my 3-year-old. Big life. Okay. It's the little, you know what, though? I mean this in all sincerity. This is an argument for having children later in life. I've done a lot of stuff, and now I'm really happy to just get stoked about that, about Target. Ah. This is a great mom hack, too. This came in. I did not know about this. Not sure if this is a mom hack, but I think it fits. I'm a new mommy. My son is 5 months old, and I just started listening to your podcast. I've noticed that a lot of the time, some of the moms... Who's that?
Oh, shit.
What's that? Is that your phone?
No. I think I have the Where My Mom's At email. Oh, the voicemail. Calling us. And close.
Oh, that's our voicemail line. You know what? Good time to give it a plug. 213-375-5184. Again, 213-375-5184 if you want to leave a voicemail for me. I prefer the voicemails to emails, guys, because I love hearing your voice. I think it helps people connect more to... you know, to you, to us, to our little mom community.
But if you do email, thank you. Definitely send us a video.
Send us video.
Of like 30 to 60 seconds with either your mom fails or your mom hacks. We love all of it.
Good. Where are my moms at gmail.com. That's that. Okay, so what I was talking about. Okay. I noticed a lot of the time some of the mom struggles simply come out of the fact that the mom is sleep deprived. But why do you have to be sleep deprived? When my son was first born, he was that baby that would not sleep, and he got to the point where he would only sleep when I was holding him. Oh, boy. And my husband and I thought there has to be a better solution. We decided to take a leap and hire a certified pediatric sleep consultant. This was by far the best decision we have made. We started working with our sleep consultant when our son was just 4 weeks old. Our consultant would talk to us every week and help us with new tips and tricks that he could try for his sleep to improve it every week. By the time my son was 10 weeks old, he was sleeping 10 to 11 hours at night with good naps during the day, and I never had to deal with a 4-month sleep regression. I know you used a doula to help you, but the cost of that was not an option for us, and the sleep consultant was a lot less expensive with an incredible outcome. They will also work with you over the phone. So this product is available to anyone, anywhere. Everyone I talk to, I tell them to hire a sleep consultant because it was a godsend. So there you go. This consultant helped validate some of the normal feelings that I had, she writes. So there you go, guys. If you can't afford a doula, hire a sleep consultant. They'll do it over the phone. And also Mitzi, who was a guest on this show, she does phone consulting as well. And you can find her, I think she was episode 2, Mitzi the Doula. She does phone as well. That was from Tamarin. So thank you, Tamarin, for that. And we have a couple of, do we have any hacks on, no, not on voicemail. Okay. Anyway, I thought I love those. Send me your mom hacks. I absolutely love them. I love sharing them because God knows we could all use shortcuts in our mom lives. Oh, you know what's a great mom hack, BT Dubs? I think I mentioned this with Ela. I'll just mention it again. The hose. If you're not letting your kids play with the hose, you're really missing out. I just hand my son a hose, and the older one, just go nuts for like 2 hours in the backyard. It's fantastic. You just chill, sit back, and watch your kids go nuts with the hose. Get the long one with the gun, so they feel very powerful shooting stuff. I got that on Amazon.
Now, do you have to worry about them pointing the hose on each other? Or do you let them do it?
Well, you say if you do it again, if you spray your little brother again, I'm taking it away. And boy, oh boy, does that end real quick. So, yeah, you just train them. Parameters. Don't spray the garbage. If you do it, I'm going to take it away. Don't spray the dog. You know, simple.
Ooh, all right, so garbage, dog, and brother.
And brother.
don't spray.
Pretty good limits right there.
It's great. And they just run around in their dye-dyes and like white trash babies that they are. And it's fun. It's fun. Why not? It's freedom, right?
Do you still let them mess around with a bottle of shaving cream?
No, we haven't done that in a while. And that's a great mom hack as well, guys. If you got about 2 to 3 year olds, love shaving cream. On Amazon, just buy some Barbasol and let them go nuts. They're going to get messy. You can do it in the bathtub if you want to be a total lazy mom. I let them just go in the backyard, spray themselves like crazy, and then just hose them down. Bring them in. Easy peasy. Lemon squeezy. Also, rice. Kids love just like a bucket of rice with some beans in it or anything tactile. Like none of the toys. My kids don't care for any toys. It's all stuff around the house. Scotch tape. Oh, my God. I give Ellis just a roll of tape and he's just stoked for so long. Okay, let's do what would CP do? These are good. Do you have a...
You got mom questions? CP's got mom answers. What would Christina P do?
Let's do. You like that? You're so funny. You're so funny.
You have the best burps.
Thank you. You're so complimentary today, Nadav. It's like you want a raise or something. Do you want a raise?
I mean, you know, if you're handing it out, sure, why not? Yes, I humbly accept the raise.
What'd you do this weekend? What's your life like?
What's my life like?
I'm so curious about everybody in their off hours, in case you haven't. I am always asking these boys, what do you guys do? What are you doing? What'd you do?
Well, it was my birthday this weekend on Friday. So
Happy birthday.
Thank you. A couple of friends took me out to a birthday party.
Oh.
And then I spent most of Saturday recovering.
Oh.
And
okay, Nadav got wasted.
Okay.
What did you drink?
I'm kind of a whiskey scotch person.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You got ripped.
Yeah, the next day was pretty rough. That's one of the easier ones to taste. But and then on Saturday, my phone was acting all messed up, so I tried to get the battery replaced, and that turned out a lot shadier than I was expecting.
Shadier? Why?
I went on Yelp, and it was like someone that had like a lot of really positive reviews, but no address.
Oh my!
So
God.
I did the request a quote thing, and the person just messages me. He's like, "What's your address?"
I'm
like, what? He's like, yeah, I'll head over and like fix your phone. I was like, oh, how soon? And I give him the address, and then he messages me back like 10 minutes later saying, I'm outside. I'm like, okay. And I go downstairs, and I have had drug deals go way smoother than how that phone repair went. It was just he was in his car. fixing it like in the driver's seat. He was double parked on a super narrow street, and at one point my phone started smoking. it was real touch and go there for a bit.
And did he fix it?
He ended up fixing it, yes, but it was very scary.
Jesus, why not just go to the Apple store? Is that out of the question?
Well, I mean, it was like 7 o'clock on a Saturday. I'm like, I'm just gonna do my due diligence. And then the person's like, I could come right now. And I'm like, all right, let's see what this is about.
I
make a lot of bad decisions.
Well, no, you do. That was clearly reckless. But the Apple store, to be fair to you, is the seventh ring of hell.
Yeah.
It is chaos. It is disorganized.
Yeah,
I love when you check in and they're like, go stand over there. Somebody might help you.
Yeah, I don't have half a day to wait around like a dick.
Oh, it's the worst. I know. And then they're like, did you back it up? Did you back up your phone? Because we're about to erase your entire life if you're not careful.
Yeah.
This
guy didn't ask any of those questions.
No. Didn't.
Yeah, as soon as it started smoking, I'm like, does that always happen? And he's like, nope. I'm like, is it going to turn back on? He's like, we'll see. Okay.
Oh, my God. What nationality?
He was Armenian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that sounds like an immigrant special.
No, yeah. It was like, and he was like in his early 20s in a BMW. Like,
yeah. Body.
Whatever this is, he has it figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys got all the angles, man. Yeah. I thought for sure that's some immigrant stuff. You're still thinking like an immigrant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I never know. Like, you know, you hear a deal. That's like too good to pass up. Like, I mean, I've bought a home theater system at a gas station.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're so cheap. Is it? I think as it's cheap, it's like the Israeli. And
I don't know what
like...
it is. It's like I see the deal, I feel the deal, and then I live the deal.
Yeah,
you know,
never works out.
And like these guys, you know, they're just pointing out the price on the box. It's like this says $2,500, but we just want like $50. It's like, oh, I can't pass that up.
No, it's like Crazy Gideon. Did you ever remember Crazy Gideon?
I remember Crazy Gideon.
Wasn't he? So there's this guy in L.A. called Crazy Gideon, and he would have these commercials on in L.A. locally, and he would sell you a television for $10.
Yeah, and the premise was that he is mentally ill. Well, that was the premise of the commercial.
So great,
I'm so mentally ill. Take advantage of me and get these TVs for cheap.
I'm Crazy Gideon. But I wonder if his TVs even worked.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, so after I bought that home theater system, I went to a friend's house. And I told them the story, and at first, you know, they're like, yeah, you're an idiot. And we started Googling whatever the name on the box was. And, like, Google auto-filled it and then had scam afterwards, like, after it.
Of course.
Yeah, and then all I found out was that everyone got the home theater system for cheaper than I paid for.
Okay.
Everyone paid $20.
Okay, Nadav. See why I like talking to younger people? Because... just when I think my life is just boring and ridiculous, and then you hear their ridiculous tales of woe. Like, and then I had my phone repaired by a guy I found on Yelp. Like, of course you did, because you're 30 years old. You're an infant. God, right? No. And then I'm glad to be a 43-year-old exhausted mom. Cool. Okay. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Never share. Okay.
All right, sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. You're wonderful. All right. Let's get back to the show. Let's do some WWCPDs. What would Christina P do? Let's do voicemails.
Yeah, we got a
first.
Bunch.
We got a grip, homie.
Here we go.
Damn.
Hey there. I was just listening to this week's Where My Mom's At with Leon Kreischer, and I was really attracted to the part that talked about seeing your peener as like a little baby. My daughter is just under a year old, and she's just now seeing my little thing hanging down between the legs, and I'm like, should I cover it up? Does it really matter? It's not just like the gaze or anything, and there's nothing sexual, so
yeah,
when's the right time? 10 years old, clearly too late, like you're scarred, whatever, but when would be the right time for an actual healthy relationship with my daughter? Please let me know. Thanks.
Wait, how old did he say his girl was? Do you remember?
I think he said she was just turning one.
Oh, yeah. It's just like the gays. It's not sexual. That's my favorite one. It's like, that's a YMH drop, Your Mom's House, if you guys don't listen to that show. Yeah, I mean, listen, bro. As a girl who grew up looking at her dad's dong all the time, like, I mean, I remember one time I was talking to some girls in my 20s, and they're like, Have you ever been with an uncircumcised guy? I was like, no, my dad is uncircumcised. Like, I knew what that looks like because my dad has an uncircumcised dong because he's European. So, yeah, I'm trying to think when I started becoming cognizant. I would say to be on the safe side, one, infancy, big deal. They're really not registering. But, like, I would say right now, just to be on the safe side, two, for sure, once they're saying words and they're starting to form sentences, yeah, about 1.5 is definitely, they're very cognizant of what's happening. So let's be safe. Let's call it one. If I think Leanne had mentioned that when Bert showers or bathes with the girls, that he wore a Speedo. So if you can take a shower with your little girl, I would just wear a Speedo. My dad also started to wear those by force after I was like, can you stop being naked around me? I'm 12. And then he begrudgingly put on a Speedo. I was like,
so from 12 and on, he was behaving?
Yeah, because he also had hooked up with my stepmother at the time, who she ended up really normalizing a lot of his odd behaviors. Because when a woman comes in the house to a single dad home, like, now we would eat on regular plates instead of paper plates. Now the dog would get a proper bath instead of the cold hose. Or like, she started letting our dog drink regular water instead of pool water. Like, shit like that that my dad would just let happen. Like, we ate out of cans a lot, my dad and I. So she was kind of like, what's going on here, you know? I never saw her naked, only once when there was an earthquake. They ran out of their room naked.
Can I ask you something?
Sure, go ahead, Nadav.
You know, just because we both have immigrant dads, I wanted to see if your dad ever did this, because I remember the entire time I lived in the house, if my dad took a shit, the door was open.
No!
And you can ask him anything.
No!
Yeah.
No!
That was just me?
That's just you, bro.
Whoops.
Yeah, that's... So he would just make rounds, and then you could be like, hey, Dad, can you pick me up from the mall tomorrow?
Well, it would be like, hey, Mom, where's Dad? And he's like, oh, he's in the bathroom. So you'd go over to the master bathroom because like it would be like an hour long thing for him.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, well, it's a long thing.
But then you'd think that Dad, because in my house, my dad took vile dumps, morning dumps. That it would permeate through the entire hall. And that's how I knew my dad was awake, because he was dumping horrible dad dump.
But and terrible farts. Yeah, just clear the room type of fart.
Well, he also drank a 12er of beer every night. Yep, so the morning, But he would always close the door, and he would tell me, get lost, like if I tried to talk to him. So I'm surprised your dad didn't want that as sacred time.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe he just saw that as a bonding time. Come here, son.
Did you see his wiener?
Sure, yeah. No, yeah, I mean, not when he was taking a shit, but I mean, don't get me, there were other opportunities to see it.
When did you see his wiener?
I remember one of the times that he got sick, like he had some sort of intestinal thing, so like we were all in the hospital like before he was going to go into surgery, or maybe it was right when he came out, and he was like, hey, you want to see something crazy? Like, what?
What?
And then he lifts his blanket, he's like, you ever see a catheter?
Ugh.
And then I saw a catheter go into my dad's dick.
What is wrong with these people?
Yeah, I was like in fourth or fifth grade, I think.
Yeah, why would he want to show that to
I remember it like it was yesterday, Christina.
Of course you do. And you're going to tell your therapist about this. I mean, why do they have to... Why the need to overshare with our parents? My mother was the same way. Like, you want to see how I douche my vagina? Like, no, I don't want to see you douche. You want to see how I shave my vagina hair? Like, oh my God. No, I don't. I don't want to see anything medical on anybody, ever, except my husband, maybe. Right? Like, why are you showing it? Ugh, they just want to mortify us. They're such, you know what it is? They're such sucking vortexes of narcissistic need. Like, they don't even consider that that might affect a child, right? Like, there's no consideration that maybe a fourth grader doesn't want to see a catheter in his dad's peener.
Right. They value interaction over discretion, I guess.
Yeah. It's so gross. Anyways, to call her, listen. Do your girls a favor. Modesty is always a great policy, I think, with the opposite sex. Now, that being said, with opposite sex children, I'm not so sure it's a big deal between father and son. I don't know. My husband showers with both children naked because they have the same stuff. I don't know. I wonder about that one as well. But my sons don't see my meow. No, in the past I've gone to the bathroom in front of my kids, but I make sure to cover everything as I'm doing it, because I do think it's good for them to see how you take a shit, because they're learning how to do that or how you go pee. They don't have to see it come out, the opposite sex parent, but you know, just to get an idea of how the toilet works so that it's not a big deal, because I think a lot of Americans are hung up on toilet modesty too. Like, oh my gosh, it's just not that big of a deal. Okay, what else
we
got?
Yeah, we got more.
I love these.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yo, what up, CP? This is another gentleman calling the show, and I had a question about single moms out there. I'm 29, and the age I'm getting to, I don't have any kids, but a lot of the women that I'm starting to date, or still dating, they have kids, and they're single. So just curious about any advice navigating those waters. I did... In my last relationship, overstep some boundaries in terms of just disciplining a child and was put in my place. And, you know, you're not her father. It's not your place to discipline her. So lesson learned there. And I was just curious if there were any other pearls of wisdom from you or single moms. Thanks.
Gosh, no, I'm not a single mom. But if you are a single mom and would love to chime in on this question, email me wheremymomsat@gmail.com. Leave me a voicemail, 213-375-5184, so we can answer this guy.
What I do know of single parents and dating, did he mention if he had a child or not as well?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. Yeah. One thing I know about single moms is ain't nobody got time for that. Like, they don't have time to mess around. So if you make a date with them, show up. Don't stiff them. Don't, I mean, what's that word? Cancel on them last minute. Don't dick around. They don't have a lot of time for you. That's what I know.
Oh, yeah, ghost.
What's the word? Go. Well, yeah, like, don't be.
No call, no show. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's so lame. Like, if you're going into it, from what I've heard from single parents, it's like they're not going to give you their time unless it's really worth it. So don't play around. Like, they don't, homie, don't have, I play that shit. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, don't discipline other people's kids. Unless you're a stepdad. And even then, I think it's sticky water. I don't think my stepdad ever disciplined me or my stepmother. But yeah, moms, single moms, chime in. Let me know. From what I hear, it sounds like your intention is really important. If you're really into her, you're going to have to live around her schedule because she's the breadwinner and the primary caregiver. So she does not have a lot of free time to F around. So there you go. Okay. Let me answer this next one via email and then we'll do another voicemail. This one says, longtime listener, my husband and I have been trying to conceive for the past year. We are both 31 years old and around these parts. She's from rural Ohio. That's an old mom, 31. I need you to tell me I'm not old and I have plenty of time. What makes it worse is two of my employees are pregnant. Ugh. One I was so happy for and not even a little jealous. She's practically my best friend. The other one I hate so much. She's the worst person in the world and I wish she would go away. Being the boss, I would have to be happy for both of them. How do I be equally happy for both of them? I'm so angry that such a shitty person gets to have a baby on her first try, but my husband and I have to try so fucking hard to keep getting these negative tests. Guide me, jeans. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's so funny. It's like the minute you start trying to get pregnant, everybody around you gets pregnant. You turn on the television and it's a Pampers ad. You turn on the radio and it's a song about having a baby. It's like you notice it more, and the rottenest women in the world are pregnant or they're on their second pregnancy and you can't even conceive your first. So that's totally normal. And I think you're just picking it up more because you're in that headspace of wanting to get preggers.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Thank you. But 31 is very young. I know in the Midwest that's considered like really old. But just know out here on the West Coast and on the East Coast, that's still really young. However, infertility issues are not necessarily age. They are age related, 35 and up, right? That's the cutoff. 35 and up, they tell you, is when it starts to decrease your fertility pretty rapidly. If I were you, I would ease my mind by making a doctor's appointment at the fertility clinic, have them test your FSH levels, look at your egg reserve. With a simple ultrasound, even just that, having an ultrasound done to look at your egg reserve in your ovaries will ease your mind so that you know exactly how much time you have. And yeah, and kind of start to learn about the options moving forward. But go to the doctor. You know, they'll tell you exactly what the timeline is. 31 is not old. Yeah, so don't let other people get in your ear about that. You're sensitive right now because you're trying to do something that you feel like you should be able to do. And why isn't it happening? And it's like your only biological function in the world, right, as a woman is to make a child. And it's terrible when it doesn't work out. Hold on. There was another thing. Someone wrote in asking me about being an old mom. And I wanted to get in on this. Someone was writing and they said they were 41 years old around there. Oh, here we go. Let me just, because this kind of piggybacks. This is a nice one. Old moms, love the podcast. Thank you very much. I'm not a mom, but my husband and I have started trying. Because of financial stability and health issues, we waited. Oh, we've been married 12 years and I'm 34 and my husband is 41. I'm a little upset with myself that I didn't have kids earlier. Every stupid website and person who has a WebMD medical degree claims it becomes so difficult to get pregnant after 35 and it's starting to get to me a little. But then I see women conceiving naturally in their 40s. The issue that bothers me most came from a mutual friend of my husband and I's wife. They have three daughters, and she offhandedly mentioned that me being an older mom would be unfair to my future kids. I wouldn't have the energy as an older mom to care for them properly. I disagreed, saying I was feeling better than ever. She said, yeah, but When they're 10, you'll be in your 40s. So what, bitch? I played it off, but since then, I have been feeling inadequate, I guess. I know she's full of shit, but it's still settled in my brain and has been bothering me ever since. What do you think? Older moms can be just as good as the 20-somethings, right? Who is this person? From Jessica R. No, she's right. you don't have as much energy in your 40s as you do in your 20s. So that part is actually accurate. So let's go through it. I'm going to give you the down and the dirty, the good, the bad, and the ugly about having kids older. So you don't have as much energy in your 40s as you do in your 20s. That's a biological fact. The snapback is also a lot harder in your 40s because you're not in your 20s when your body is just dying to lose weight and your metabolism is through the roof. So that being said, I would say those are two biggest downsides to being an older mom. However, having young children in my 40s has kept my energy levels way up. I've always been a bit of a busybody to begin with. I've always been like really, I just do shit all the time. It's going to make you more active. And yeah, you're going to rise to the occasion. It's going to be a little bit harder for you. Yes. Same with your body. So what does that mean? Now that you're older, you're in your mid-30s, your husband is 41. I'm guessing he's more established, you're more established, you have more resources. So guess what? Tell your fucking, your bitchy friends, yeah, I may be 34, but I can afford to go exercise. I can afford a great diet. I can afford to make myself and my body strong and supple so that I can carry a child in my 40s or be older or whatever. And you compensate that way. And that's the greatest benefit I see of being an older parent, is that you're way more emotionally mature. You've done your therapy, hopefully. You've done your work to fix your issues. And you have more resources. So if you're too tired to do every single thing perfectly that a 20-year-old mom can do, well, that's when you can afford somebody you really, really trust and love who becomes a part of your family. And they take the kids to the park every now and then. Ooh, I know. Isn't that terrible of me to say? No, it ain't. Because guess what? I'm alone with two little boys a lot. My husband travels a lot. And I'm the primary. I'm always there. There are Saturday mornings. I am so thankful that we have somebody who can take them to the park for me. And my kids have a great time. And we bond sometimes in other ways. So when the kids get home, I'll bake some muffins with them or do something way more low key. That being said, do I sometimes take them to the park? Yeah, of course, just not all the times because mama is older and that's okay. So they're just going to have a little bit different of an existence with you. And okay, so I'm going to be older, which means, yeah, I'll be 50 something when my kids are 10-ish, whatever. And also I will probably die when they are in their 40s. I hope, gosh, I don't know. I thought about that too. I'm older, so my kids might lose me earlier in their adult lives. That's why I had two, so they can have each other. I did actually think those thoughts through. But hey, man, there's good and bad for both. If you're young, you're also vivacious. Your body can snap back, and I don't think you get as cranky. You're not as set in your ways as you get older. But listen, F all the haters. It's not the other person. It's only because you feel inadequate, so you lock in something when somebody offhandedly says something. That's what's going on. Don't listen to your inner voice. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and fucking do that shit. All right, let's do another voicemail.
Hi, Christina P. I have a question for you. Do you use public restroom changing tables? I keep seeing on Facebook it going around that people do drugs on these tables. And so it was like, don't use these tables. And everyone's like, well, where am I supposed to change my baby? I'm kind of a new mom. I pretty much usually just go to the car. And then all summer I would like go outside and just go on the grass. Mm. But yeah, these public restroom changing tables are gross. They gross me out. And like, then people were saying there's drugs on them. So let me know what you think. Thanks.
They're so nasty. I know, public changing tables are the nastiest. So here's my mom hack. Here's what I've been doing. A, change them in the car if you can. If you have like an SUV or whatever, just open up the trunk and you have a nice flat area. Change that baby there. You can buy those wonderful pads. Like, you know, they come in diaper bags. You just, it's like an open pad. You lay the baby on the pad. If I've used public diaper changing stations, yes, but I wipe them down thoroughly. And here's my hack. If I'm at the mall, I do not use the public restroom for the general public. I'll go to like Neiman Marcus's bathroom. Like you go to the bougie nice, go to Nordy's and use their diaper changing station. You know what I'm saying? You know, you feel me? I'm talking about. Do not go to like the general pop. Ugh. Gen pop is nasty.
Catch me outside. How about that?
That's what's up. Like, I wouldn't even want to take a dump with the general population, let alone put my baby's head down on the thing. Oh, it always smells like turds in there too. So if you're at the mall, go to the nicest public restroom you can find. You know what's great? Neiman has like a family changing room. Some of these fancier malls have family changing rooms that probably don't have blow all over them. So there you go. What else? What are the voicemail we got, Mommy?
Hi, Jeans. So first time mom here. I'm 25 weeks and everyone keeps asking me, what are you doing after the baby? Are you staying home? Are you going back to work? How much time are you taking off work? And my answer is, I don't fucking know. Leave me alone. How do you figure that out? And also, I realize I have a huge aversion to being a stay-at-home mom after my mom and I hung out one day. And after I left, I had a massive panic attack, realizing that I have such an aversion to being a stay-at-home mom because my mom was a stay-at-home mom for about 5 or 6 years. And that's when my dad started cheating. So in my head, being a stay-at-home mom is associated with severe depression, lots of happy pills, and your husband cheating on you. So I know you've mentioned you've had a lot of, like, fucked up childhood memories come up because of having children. Did any that you kind of suppressed popped up when you were pregnant or first had your babies? Thanks, Jeans. Love you. Bye.
Okay, so there's three. Hold on, she has three different questions here. What do you tell other people? Those nosy Nancys, aren't they the worst? We can't you and the babies. Blah. I got that question. What do you? Are you gonna still tour? How are you gonna do that? How can you work and have a baby? I remember it exploded people's minds that I would still go do comedy. I remember I did a set pregnant in Montreal when I was 5 months pregnant with Ellis, and and they wrote under it, they were like, you know, she's pregnant but she's still edgy, as if like it, you know, carrying a child sucks all the coolness out of you. Like, it, you know, I'm just making a person, I'm not fully lobotomized. And also, it's none of your business what my socioeconomic status is and what my husband and I will choose to do. So what do you politely say? I don't know. We haven't decided yet. It's basically none of your fucking business is the right answer. That being said, yeah, it sounds like you do have a mental aversion to becoming a stay-at-home mom because of the traumatic things that happened basically to you. Because if your dad started cheating when your mother was staying at home with you guys, you said 5 or 6 years in, that means about when you're, I'm guessing, 5 or 6 years old, your whole world fell apart. And I think children and your child's brain, you don't want to blame your cheating dad because you can't make your parents bad, but you blame what you see around you, right? So you're like, well, maybe it's because my mom was the stay-at-home mom and maybe she wasn't keeping him interested and maybe she was this boring, neurotic, blah, 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 blah. So people don't cheat because I mean, from what I've heard, I don't know. People cheat because they're insecure, because they are broken inside. I don't know if it's because they have like boring stay-at-home moms for spouses. And by the way, just for the record, anybody listening, I have the utmost respect for the stay-at-home mom because it is the fucking hardest thing to do in the world, to give up your outside life and to stay home all day, every day with infants is the most incredible job. It's so hard to do. So I would say get into counseling for that, man, because it sounds like you have a kind of a phobia around something because you blame that thing for the demise of your parents' relationship and ultimately the ruining of your young childhood. So I'm sorry that happened to you. That's terrible. Don't let that rob you of, by the way, the joys of being home for for your baby's first few years. And hey, listen, I'm not taking any sides on stay at home versus working mom, because I think that's insanity to even judge anybody's decision. But just be aware that, yeah, the first 4 or 5 years of a child's development are huge. You don't get those years back. And they, you know, you mess those up, boy. You're looking at a product of many years of therapy, because my parents were getting a divorce. By the time I was 4, they already split. I moved countries, and then my parents were fighting and everything when I was 2, 3. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I've dealt with a lifetime of therapy and problems and depression because of my parents were not into me the first 4 or 5 years. Well, that's why I'm so mental about being around for my kids these formative years. Just keep that in mind. There's no pressure. I'm just letting you know facts, 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 and figure out what's right for you and your family. Maybe it's working part-time. Maybe, I don't know, a daycare situation. I know a friend of mine, she's a working mom. She works full-time, but she has her work provides a daycare center at her job. So every lunch hour she goes and she spends an hour with her kid, and that's amazing. So there you go. But don't let that sour you on being a stay-at-home mom, because that's silly too. There's women who just love being stay-at-home moms. They love it. They're pigs and shit. They love it, love it, love it. And it's the most fulfilling, rewarding, amazing thing. So don't let that not be an option because of your shitty parents who should have been focused on you. And by the way, not your shitty parents, your shitty selfish dad who should have been focused on you and not getting his D-I-C-K rubbed by the neighbor or whoever. I don't know. That's what my dad was doing. Maybe some other lady in the neighborhood. I don't know who was banging, but you know what I mean? Don't let your shitty parents sabotage any of your happiness and how you raise your kids. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Any suppressed memories come up? Yeah, every day, all day. Every day. I'll tell you what, having children is the most triggering thing in the world. Almost every week, something new. You know, you go from joy to rage, exhaustion, exhilaration, all day, every day, every 6 seconds. Like, that's why it's so hard. That's why you need a support system. You need to, if you're, you know, go see a shrink, man. Go get your therapy on. So yeah, and again, this thing that all stay-at-home moms were like, you know, Xanax addicted, pill popping. What? It's not the truth. It's just not the case. I know wonderful stay-at-home moms who just love it. So anyway, all right, let's get back to the program. Okay, moving on. Let's do another voicemail. We have one left, and then we'll go to Mom Fails, everybody's favorite.
Hi, mummies. So I know you've talked about this on your Netflix special, but I know that you really prioritize keeping it alive in your marriage. And I was wondering, how do you keep it alive in your marriage with Tom, besides the fact that he has an amazing beard, and I dig a good beard, so I imagine you do too. So any advice around that would be great.
I find
myself turned on when my husband makes me a pot of coffee. So thanks, Christina. Big fan. Bye.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Listen, man, I'll tell you what I do. And this is real talk. And this is not politically correct. And I don't know, it might get me in trouble, but I kind of go 1950s on my marriage a little bit. What does that mean? Look, he supports my career. He's the most supportive, wonderful husband. I spoil him and I treat him like a 1950s dad in a lot of ways. There was this great comedian I worked with at the Laugh Factory this Friday, Clinton. Oh, I wish I knew his last name. And he had this, sorry, Clinton, if you're listening, he had this great bit. He goes, all men want is for a woman to bring them a plate of food. He goes, because growing up, we watched our mommies bring our daddies plates of food. And I thought, well, isn't that the perfect encapsulation of how, that's how I feel. I was raised the old European way, which is a woman does fucking bring her husband a plate of food. I do like to have, when my husband comes home off the road, because he does work hard for us and he works fucking hard and he does his part. Like, he's a good man. He doesn't gamble. He doesn't drink. He doesn't, as far as I know, whore around. He's not spending my money at the strip club. Like, he's a good fucking guy and I want to keep him. So I take care of him and I give him the stuff that he likes. I make sure there's food in the house. I like to cook something on Sundays. I got a rule at my house, Sunday treats, which means I order a grip of fucking, I do barbecue, I do whatever it is, and we feast and we enjoy each other's company. And I let the guy chill. I let him sit in his underwear and watch football on a Sunday. I don't nag him about that. Bring him plates of food. I stroke his beard. I tell him I love him. I think that's so, like, how you keep the sex stuff alive is a fraction of keeping everything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to adore, I believe, a man. That's only if he's nice to you now, by the way. If he's a piece of shit, ignore everything I'm telling you. Like, if this guy is, like, an addict, if they're addicts, no. You cannot be married to an addict. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. A womanizer? No. These are scumbags. I'm saying if you got a nice man on your hands, keep him around. Okay, so what else? Okay, I cook for him. I do little nice wifey things. For instance, today, he's grumpy as F because he's been on tour forever. And I said, great, I'm checking you into the spa. So I made a spa appointment for him. And I was like, get out of here. Go away for a day. I don't want to see you until you're in a better place. That's a nice thing to take care of him. You find out what they like and you do those things as much as possible. He likes objects. My husband loves stuff. I'm not a big stuff person, but if I go to the mall with the kids, I'll be, let's get a present for daddy. Let's show him that we're thinking about him. And he loves it. He opens the trinket and he goes, oh, this is really, oh my God. And then he puts it down and he ignores it for the rest of his life. But for those few seconds, he's so happy that we thought of him and that means something to him. You know, I celebrate his accomplishments. He celebrates mine. Like yesterday, he came back from a really successful road week and we all went and got him some balloons. So he came home and there's a nice thing of balloon. Hey, you did it. Congrats. You know, celebrate them. Okay, sexually, I'm not like Leanne, where she gives quarterly BJs, although that's a valid, and listen to that episode with Leanne Kreischer if you haven't, the last one she came in here. She said she gives Bert quarterly BJs. Awesome, if you want to put it on a schedule like that, 100%. I believe in regular milking of your husband. I think it helps everybody in the family. It cuts down on their crankiness, their irritability, the rage levels. You know what I'm saying? Like the male, whatever. Everything functions better when your husband doesn't have anger juice in his nuts. It just, they'll do chores easier. Like, it benefits the wife. People don't know this. It's not about you putting out. It's about you greasing the wheels for the family. You know what I'm saying? Like, when my husband's nuts are empty, he takes out the trash. Let me go clean the car. Yeah, let me go put gas in your car. Like, it's so much easier for everybody. So find out what he likes. Yeah, if it's a quarterly BJ, do that. You know what else is great? AdamandEve.com, especially those of us that have been married for millions of years, buy all kinds. Yeah, I don't know if you want to bring this one up on AdamandEve.com. Yeah, I think it's decent. You can put this on YouTube. Look, all kinds of interesting things that light up and pushy button. And what do men love? Pushing buttons on stuff and things that light up and doodads and things. Buy something ridiculous on Adam and Eve. They don't sponsor me or anything like that. But the thing shows up in an unmarked package, so your children, nobody will see what you've purchased. Nothing a glass of wine can't fix at night, ladies. I know you're tired. I know you're tired at the end of the day. But that's what wine is for. You drink a glass. I got something for us at the Adam and Eve place. And you look like a real sex kitten too. When you're like, oh, I ordered something online. They're like, oh, you nasty. It's like not even a big deal. You know, it's like one stupid thing. And they're like, oh, ooh. And that's what I do. Real talk. There you go. Maybe I'll do a whole episode on husband maintenance. That would be fun. Maybe Leanne and I could do another. let me do this next one because this one really... And then we'll go into mom fails. This one really tugged on my nuts emotionally, my emotional nuts. You know, I read these emails and sometimes I'm like, oh my God, my heart breaks. Okay. Hey, Hitler. My name is Lou. I'm 22 years old and live in Tempe, Arizona. I am female to male transgender. meaning I was born with big old milk flaps and a vajayjay. I am in the early stages of transitioning and still presenting like a butchy lesbian. My voice is starting to deepen and I am starting to grow hair after taking Rambo juice, as my boyfriend calls it. So hold on. So you're female to male and now you have a boyfriend. So now you are a gay man. Okay. My mom is very close to your age and I've always viewed her as being super progressive and understanding. Since coming out, she's been extremely distant and has pretty much completely ignored my choice. In the past couple of months, we have only spoken a handful of times and it gets pretty awkward every time. My question for you is, how would you feel if one of your boys came out as transgender as a teenager slash young adult? Would you and Tom be understanding of their choice? Also, how would you want your kiddos to approach you on the subject? I feel like I don't even know where to start. I have bought her books to help her understand the process, but she is still apprehensive. Thanks, mommy. Piss on me, beat me, Lou. Always thrilled with the greetings on these shows. These are all YMH references for those of you who are like, I don't know what this woman, what's Hitler doing in this email?
Okay.
So Lou, number one, congratulations on your transitioning. You're 22 and that's awesome that you're doing it so young in life that you'll have your whole life ahead of you as a male, which is fantastic. So good for you. Congratulations on a boyfriend. Sounds like you're living a pretty successful, happy life. But such a bummer that your mom is not fully accepting of you. So your question to me is, how would I feel if one of my boys came out as transgender? Well, I'll tell you, I don't know because I haven't crossed that bridge yet, but I can't imagine if your mother was paying attention all these years that this really comes as such a surprise to her. Because from what I understand, it's not like you were probably wearing ruffle dresses and playing with your non-binary black wheelchair Barbie. No, I'm kidding. You probably had a traditional Barbie. You had your gendered, how dare they buy you a gendered Barbie? They're making those now. You know that there's like black wheelchair Barbie and there's now asexual, non-gendered Barbies and Kens. Cool. Great. But I'm guessing you probably weren't, is what I'm saying, a traditional girly girl growing up. And I suspect that she suspected that you may have been different, right? So I can't imagine being completely shocked if one of my boys who had always been a little effeminate or whatever, would come to me. I'd be like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. I may be relieved because I may sense that my kid... Because from what I understand, and also I have an acquaintance who is transitioning from male to female now, and I've known him for about 10 or 15 years, and he's in his 50s transitioning, which makes me so sad because I wish he could be a hot 22-year-old, you know, versus a 50-year-old transitioned. It makes me so sad for him. Like, oh, congratulations, you're a middle-aged woman. Like, it sucks. But he was depressed and something was off with him for years. And I've known the guy and the woman now. And, but when she told me like, oh, I'm transitioning. I thought, oh, what a relief. Because I always sensed that something was off in her. So I know it's so tough, mommy. I'm sorry, Lou, that your mom doesn't get it. But here's the deal, man. She's known you one way. She... change her little diapers one way. And now, in her mind, if this is a complete shock, she's having to accept you as a whole new person, a new version of you. She may be embarrassed. She may be embarrassed in terms of what are the neighbors going to think? What's the family going to think? OMG, you know, what's the church ladies going to say or what? That might be part of it. She might be afraid. It's foreign. It's weird for her. And yeah, getting books and stuff, that's such the right lane. However, she's not ready yet. So you're going to have to give her time to come around to the new you, right? Just like you're transitioning. That's a transition literally from one to another. It's going to take her a minute to get used to you. So be patient, I imagine. I don't know if she's saying whack stuff to you or whatever, but I don't know. But here's the deal. This is what I know of human beings. She may not understand trans. She may not understand these words and these terms. All humans, if they're not sociopaths, understand suffering. suffering is universal. Suffering makes sense in every language. If you were to sit down with her, Lou, and convey to her the great suffering you had maybe growing up as a girl, not feeling like that made sense for you. The suffering of being born into a body that's like, ugh, it's not, this doesn't fit. I think your mom might be more, I don't know, accepting of it. Because I don't think any parent wants their kids to suffer. And that's what I learned watching these shows on TLC, like when the 50-year-old dads are transitioning and you're like, oh my God, like how can this happen? And then you hear them talk about their suffering and they're crying and they're like, oh, well, I get that. Then God damn it, let the guy, you know, just fucking go be a woman, go be happy. So yeah, sit down and talk about your feelings. Forget explaining how you're going to grow facial hair or how they're going to construct a peanut. It's not there. She's not there yet. But just sit down and talk to her about your suffering. And I guarantee she'll feel a lot more open to hearing about your transition then. She's in shock. I'm guessing she's in shock. Okay, let me just looky here, mommy. Oh, Christ. One more. I just love these. Okay. Christina, I'm not a mom, but my boyfriend and I do want children in the future. I have an extreme phobia of vomiting that is keeping me so scared of childbirth and parenting. I've always had this crippling fear, and I do plan on seeing a therapist as soon as I can, but I was wondering how you navigate being a mother with this phobia. I'm mostly so horrified of morning sickness, Bobby. Yeah, I have emetophobia. I have an extreme phobia of vomiting. I haven't vomited since 2003, knock on wood. That's right, 2 pregnancies, 2 deliveries. No puking. But my kids will bring home a stomach bug eventually. And, oh gosh. I mean, my kids have puked already and I get weird about it, but then I talk myself off ledge. Basically, you have to talk to your therapist about it. That's really the only thing you can do. I tried hypnotherapy for it too, which really helped. So I would recommend going to a hypnotherapist. Just Google that in your area. It was like a couple of hours, and that really worked.
Interesting. How many sessions?
One session.
How long? It was a couple hours?
Couple hours. And you go through why you're afraid of it, like what's the root? Because really all phobias are rooted in you're not wanting to feel certain feelings. And you associate something with something else that's not linked up necessarily. Just, I don't know. Anyway, go see a hypnotherapist. It works for smoking. I stopped smoking with hypnotherapy. I did hypnobirthing. That didn't work for me. But
What? Yeah. Hypnobirthing?
Oh, yeah.
Like so, where you're hypnotized while you're giving birth?
Kind of. So hypnobirthing, for those of you guys interested in that, it's like hypnosis. And what you do is you walk through your fears of delivery. By the way, anybody listening to this, I get a lot of emails too, scared of birth. You go to a hypnotherapist, you talk about your fears, like what is it that you fear the most, right? So she'll make a list of those things and then in your hypnosis, fix those things basically is what they do. And then so when you're in during birth, she gives you tools like imagine colors. So you'll be like, okay, this pain is like a rainbow. It's red, it's orange, it's yellow. Like you visualize the stuff that the hypnotherapist gave you, but you still feel pain. Like none of that stuff is, I know they're, it doesn't mean you don't feel it. Like I remember we did a video on your mom's house where this woman was like, I'm having an orgasm during birth. Like, no, you're not. Like you're not crazy. Like you're redirecting this pain into your pretending. Your mind is telling you that there's no way. Yeah. Anyways, that's definitely an option. Hypnotherapy, I would look into that. Go cognitive behavioral therapy to redirect your anxieties. There you go. Hold on, I did want to get to a couple more. Yeah, I got to get these, Native, because these stick in my head all freaking week. We got time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's so many that I want to get to that I... Okay, this one's interesting. Best time to have sex to get pregnant. My boyfriend and I have recently started to try having kids. How accurate would you say tracking ovulation would be via flow apps? I've been tracking mine, and we tried to make marital loves when the app says... But I have heard they're not entirely accurate because it's hard to track exactly, especially when I've been on the pill for years prior and skipped months period. Is there really a set tiny fr- a a set tiny frame for ovulating, or is there a wider gap? Okay, okay. Listen, listen, listen. Here's what you're going to do, Anonymous. Ta-ta there, retard, she says. Okay, here's what you're going to do. No, the freaking app is not 100% accurate. That is based on, like, standard women's cycles, okay? I learned the hard way that I'm an early ovulator. Like, I swear I would feel it. I'm like, I get my period, and then 5 days later, I'm ovulating. I'm like, how is this? This isn't right. I'm supposed to be 2 weeks later. Because, okay, so for those who back it up. You get your period. That's day one of your cycle. In 2 weeks, you're supposed to ovulate, right? There's that fertile window. And then 2 weeks after that, you get your period. So if you're not pregnant, you get your period, right? Standard. Not everybody ovulates exactly 2 weeks after their period. So these apps that are tracking you, unless you're wearing that bracelet, there's that company Ava, I believe, that they track your fertility. I have not, like, fully explored this, so do not, whatever, do that. Simple solution, guys. Go to your Rite Aid, your CVS pharmacy. There are ovulation sticks. You pee on them in the morning when you wake up, when there's lots of hormones in your urine, first thing in the morning. Pee on that stick and it'll tell you, it'll beep if you're fertile. Beep, beep, beep. It'll give you like a thumbs up symbol or a, I think the symbol is like this. And that lets you know it's time. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. What if it did though? It gives you an erect penis entering a vagina. No, it brings up a bottle of wine. No. So that lets you know that you're in the window. And that, my friends, is really, in my opinion, that's a great effective way. The thing tells you. So start peeing on sticks and write that down. You can take a basal thermometer. You take your temperature in the morning. I never did that one, but I hear that works. You can check out your discharge. They tell you if it's clear and stretchy, you're ovulating. However, the secret to getting preggers, ladies, you gotta F before you're actually ovulating, okay? Because you want sperm in your fallopian tubes. The minute that egg releases, it's going to get fertilized in the fallopian tube and then in the uterus. So start banging a day before you're going to ovulate and bang on the day of ovulation and then the next 2 or 3 days. So that's like 4 days, 5 days of just banging. Have them bust nuts in you at least 4 or 5 days in a row. And you will hopefully get pregnant. There you go. Okay.
Would you recommend limiting it to one nut a day, or is it like nut all day every day?
No. You don't need to do all day, every day. You just need to get that first nut in when it says just once a day. Once a day, and you can lay down, so preferably at night, so you're not, you know, spilling the sacred seed everywhere. You can just lay down. Okay. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm covering my bases. Okay, working mom guilt. This one's great. Hey, mommies. My name is Xochitl, Xochitl, Xochitl from Illinois. I'm a mommy to a beautiful 6-month-old baby girl. I went back to work when my daughter was 3 months, and within this past month, I got a new job that I really enjoy. But I have mom guilt all the time about everything. I feel guilty that I enjoy my job, ergo enjoying time away from my daughter. Also, I feel guilty for not getting the quality time during the weekday with her that I'd like to, as she's pretty much ready for bed shortly after I get home from work. When I interviewed for my current job, they asked me what personal hurdles I may have, and I mentioned the fact that I do have a baby. Being a working mom, I feel like that puts us at a disadvantage in the workforce, as we have to take time off for doctor appointments, can't stay late to work because we've got to pick them up from daycare, and may have to leave abruptly to take care of a sick baby. Please tell me I'm not alone. Don't worry. I'm going to therapy. Good. My second session is tomorrow. Keep my take. Great. So chill. Yeah. You know, this is like the dirty secret of the mom world is like, yeah, listen, guess what? You're a mom. All this shit falls on your lap. When the kid gets sick, mom's taking the baby to the doctor, not dad usually. When the baby gets sick, the baby wants mom too. We're the center of the universe to little ones. They want your comfort. You're the scheduler of appointments. You're everything, right? You know all this stuff. Daycare pickups. Okay, so here's what you can do. I don't know what your situation is with your husband, if you have a husband, or whatnot, try to arrange it that your husband can pick them up from daycare. That would be nice every now and then, right? Is there stuff that your husband can do? Sometimes dads do doctor appointments. I'd make my husband do them occasionally when he can. Oh, and here's the dirty secret. Yeah, having a kid throws a wrench in women's careers, period. I feel like that book, that Lean In book, was great and not so great in that, because I read that book that's called Lean In. It was like, well, was she the CEO of Facebook? Do you know what I'm talking about, Nadav?
Oh.
She's CEO of Facebook. Google Lean In. Sheryl Sandberg. And she got a lot of blowback because she was encouraging women. There it is. Lean In. Lean In. Women work and the will to lead. This is hilarious. Sheryl Sandberg. So she got pregnant. The story was, this poor woman, she got pregnant, and just as she was being offered, I believe that, is it Facebook she worked at or Google? I forget. Facebook, I think. And yeah. And the whole book is about how women often take their foot off the pedal when they have careers, right, to have the children and to be there for the children. And her argument was like, yeah, well, I became like the whatever second in command at Facebook just as I was pregnant, and I did it all. Like I worked my days, and I had there was a daycare at Facebook, so that was fortunate, you know. And a lot of women don't have the benefits that she did. That was the blowback. It's like, yeah, bitch, but you're, you know, you've got a lot of money. You could probably afford a lot of nannies and whatever it is. A lot of us can't do that, bitch. Anyways, that's a good book if you want to read it if you're a working mom, because I think it addresses a lot of the guilt issues. Look, there's guilt either way, okay? If you're a working mom, you're guilty because you're not home for every milestone. If you're a stay-at-home mom, maybe you're guilty for, I don't know, not pursuing the career, or you feel left behind. There's guilt on either side of this equation. It's a no-win situation. You're going to feel guilt for everything all the fucking time. It's just part of being a mom. So pick your poison, deal with it. You know what I would suggest? Because I kind of do a blend of both. Like I'm just, the business I'm in, I'm fortunate enough that I don't have to work a ton of like 9 to 5 hours, right? So I'm home with my kids a lot. And then if I do travel, it's for 48, 72 hours and I'm home once a month. Big deal. But I used to do a lot more. So yeah, I pulled back to be with my children because I know that it's 4 years of whatever, 4 or 5 years. And then they're going to go to school. And then, you know, those you don't get those 4 or 5 first years back where they're developing their personalities and they really need you. So, you know, I don't know, man. Is there a way you can construct your work schedule to accommodate being with them a little bit more so you don't have so much guilt about it? Is there a way to work part time? Is there a way to, I don't know. Is there a way to mitigate the guilt of it? I don't know. That's what I did. I'm just being honest. I'm not advocating this for everybody, but yes, I did pull back because I didn't want my children to, I didn't want to miss out. And I got a lot of freaking issues. All right. I'm overcompensating here. I'm trying to correct all the wrongs from my childhood. So, you know, I ain't doing it perfect. You just do what's right for you and your conscience and what works. Okay, mommy. And you're going to feel guilty no matter what. So chill. You're just going to feel guilty. You're going to feel guilty for, you know, not feeding them a mac and cheese for dinner. You're going to feel guilty about it all. So just, you got to choose your guilt poison. Okay, let's do some mom fails, and then we are out of here for this week. Go ahead.
Now it's time for a round of mom fails.
What do we got? Let's do the voicemail.
Hi, mommy. I have a multi-generational mom fail. The other day, my 3.5-year-old son went over to his best friend's house for a play date. His parents and my husband and I are very good friends, so I didn't think that anything would come of it. But when I picked him up, he kind of got a better view with my other best friend, mommy, saying there was a lot of poop talk. So we've been potty training.
Yeah.
He's pretty much potty trained now, but for a long time, we talked a lot about Brown and all the different stuff that goes along with that. And now he realized people laugh when he talks about it. Men laugh when they talk about it. So yeah. I thought, oh, shoot, I can see how other parents wouldn't like that. And, you know, his best friend is very sweet. Well, it
that happened on Grandparents' Day, and we went back to our house, and since we don't live by our families, we FaceTimed with all the grandparents, and every single grandparent, during our short 2-minute FaceTime thing, all mentioned different forms of brown. One, my mother asked if Rowan could do the Cornholio impression that they taught him. So,
yes!
That's my mom fail. It runs in our family. I guess we're just, you know, people who think browns are a little funnier than they should be. Yep. Love you. Bye.
I love it. I think that's a mom win. I think that you need to find new friends because these neighbors are freaking nerds. If they're not down with your brown talk, screw them, man. That's lame. I just taught my kid how to blow farts, fart noises on his arm. Like, when you ever do that on your bare skin, you go, pfft. I just taught him that one. Good for you, man. Keep it up. Listen, can't be perfect. That was good. Okay, what else we got? Mom fails.
Hi, Mommy Jeans. I'm Madison from Portland, Oregon. Just moved to LA, and I have a mom fail for you. I am not a mom myself, but my sister and I used to get in the shower with my mom, and we would ask her if she wanted a Minnie Mouse pancake or a Mickey Mouse pancake. And what I mean by that is we would smush her boobs between our little hands and make pancakes with her breasts like she would, I guess, in the morning for us in our little minds. So super weird. My sister and I joke about it now, but just wanted to share that mom feel for you. I hope my mom doesn't listen to this, but I doubt she does.
No way.
Keep them high and tight. Thank you so much. I love you for what you do.
Thank you.
Hope to see you soon in LA. Thanks.
Hilarious. Mickey Mouse man. That's so funny. I remember being obsessed with my mom's boobs too. I feel like that's standard, especially when you're a little girl, because you're like, oh, one day I'm going to have those big old knockers. You know, I was always trying to grab my mom's boobs because she would always wear like tube tops around the house, and she has such big flap wagons. Like, they were so hangy, and like mine are pretty hanging now too, but hers were just flat and hanging, like so wide. And I'm like, ugh, were they always that nasty? Anyway, all right. That's it. That's all I have for you. I don't want to read anymore. I feel like I read too many. Anyway, send me your videos, wherememomsat@gmail.com. Send me your voicemails. Send me your voicemails. Leave me your voicemail, 213-375-5184. Let me know if there's any topics you want me to discuss. I want to do like a marriage one. Maybe I'll bring Tom in and we'll do like how to keep your marriage happy despite having kids.
That's a good idea.
I know, huh? Or maybe a male comic. I don't know. I don't know if Tom, he's a little more private than me. All right, mommies, thank you for downloading this episode. Thank you for subscribing on YouTube, and also subscribe on iTunes. Why not just have this podcast fresh in your inbox on Mondays? Come see me do stand-up live at the Ice House in Pasadena, Irvine Improv, and Flappers. And I'm going to put up my 2020 dates pretty soon. And that's it. Thank you so much for supporting the show. I'll see you next week. Mwah!
Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's